kind of major problem where they weren't allowed to release records here.
Weird.
And so for many years, like, you know, like the momentum they had in the early and mid-60s or mid-60s didn't take off for them. So it took them a long time to.
And did they, because they were part of the initial British invasion with the Beatles and they had that raw sound.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but they were really British sounding band.
Great.
They wasn't really about, well.
How did they get to soap opera?
Soap opera.
Yeah.
Oh, that album.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Ducks
on
the Wall.
I don't know. I don't really
cool,
know a lot
baby,
of their later
you're
stuff.
Cutting it fine. I've got plenty of time. And then the.
Of course, you would zero in on that one.
Dancing at the Pally or whatever. I don't know, man. See, but I might not have the aptitude or the ability to comprehend it.
What's there to comprehend? It's pop music.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science.
But I do. But Lola, I don't know. You overhear things, don't you?
Well, you know, that was a very popular song.
Do you listen to old Beatles much or things you heard a zillion times?
A little bit. I still love the White Album, and I like...
What tracks? Let's talk to you for a minute here. This is interesting.
Revolution Number 9.
Yeah, of course, the Artie number. What else?
I don't know.
Let me throw them at you.
She came in through the bathroom window.
Isn't that Abbey Road?
Oh, no, you're right. That's Abbey Road.
Yeah.
Now, what's the...
Minus 5 points.
No, While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
You like that?
I do.
Guest guitarist?
Clapton.
Eric Clapton, 5 points. You're back to zero.
He stole George's wife.
Patty.
Boyd.
That's right.
Yeah.
Boyd.
Boyd.
Patty Boyd.
No, he made a whole album dedicated to her, you know, because he was just like, you know,
despondent.
Taken. Well, no, not despondent. He was in love with her.
Yeah.
He stole her from George.
Oh, Eric wrote one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patty. That was the name of it, wasn't it?
No, it was not.
Patty, I'm so in love with you.
What's your favorite Beatles album?
Magical Mystery Tour.
I like that one a lot, yeah. I like that. I like that and Revolver.
Blue Jay Way.
Yeah.
Your
I like
Mother
Flying.
Should Know.
Flying is a great track.
Da, 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 da. I like Herbie Mann's version of that.
I like the singles, too. I like the B-sides of the singles. Are
yeah,
really
The Inner Light.
The Inner Light,
remember
yes.
Remember that?
Yeah, The Inner Light and You Know My Name.
I knew you were kissy.
That's a wild track.
In my mind,
you know,
is
they
going,
were gonna,
my
they,
mind's going, don't say it. Fuck.
They were going to make that an A-side, and they thought
Thank
about
God
it.
They didn't.
They were going to make it an A-side.
Yeah, Yellow Submarine, what do you think?
I like there's great. One track on there by George, which I can't remember the title of.
By George, there's one track on there.
No, I really like that track, but I can't remember
what
the title.
What about Admiral Halsey?
What about it? Why are we talking about the Beatles?
Is it kind of like Yellow Submarine, I guess it?
What?
Admiral Halsey. Admiral Halsey notified me.
This is preposterous.
Sitting in the back seat of your car.
Oh, man. So I was away for 2 weeks and I come
it
back
wasn't
to this.
Enough, was it, was, it?
It just wasn't enough, man. I'll tell you. I was eating and drinking the most sublime things. And
but all the
seeing,
while kind of gearing yourself toward this moment?
No, not at all. No. No,
really?
I was trying to, like, forget it. If I could stay there, Rome is just an amazing city. You walk down the street and there's like some thing that's 2,000 years old just hanging out there on the street.
Have you seen the B-52's promotion for Rome?
What?
Rome, what if hell? You want to, everybody.
God.
Rome around the world.
All right.
That would be pretty good though. Rome, if you want to.
What else you got for me?
Or Nabisco could put out Romeo.
I still have
instead of Oreos.
3 minutes in my show, so let's make it
I'm
worthwhile.
I'm trying to save it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're trying to save
kinda,
it.
Kinda, really.
I mean,
it's your,
going down,
cult,
like sinking really fast, like
walnut
cult. You know, like the lead sinker you put on a, you know, on the. you know, on a fishing rod.
Your old
like
Zebco
goes right down.
Just into the weeds and rocks and gets a snag.
No, it's the Popeil's instant fish, pocket fisherman.
What are you fishing for, Fob, in your mind? Little chubs?
Pike.
A northern pike on a pocket fisherman.
Of course.
A gar.
Catfish.
I love gars.
I don't know. What's a gar?
My friend works for the DNR, and he got a gar snout right in his sternum.
What?
And he almost drowned.
You're kidding.
They were herding them into these enclosures.
I don't even know what a gar looks like. What
the
is
real
it?
Long, skinny ones with sharp noses.
Okay. But it's very long.
Freshwater, yeah.
And what? So they attack you?
Fast, so they go right into you? They were herding them into this enclosure, and it swam straight into his sternum, and he was up to his neck in water.
And it stabbed into him?
It just, you know, like didn't pierce through, but bony cartilage.
Oh,
just
wow.
Wham! And he was gasping for air.
Hmm. Okay.
And that gar just swam on by.
And he was history.
Yeah.
Well, we got 1 minute here. This is Freeform Radio, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. What's left? 1 minute, ladies and gentlemen. 1 minute, 50 seconds to the Dusty Show. 50 seconds. 50 seconds. Come on. Give me something.
Reach around.
You want to do a reach around, really?
Computer there.
I'm not kidding. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost time for the Dusty Show.
Yeah.
What's on tap for today?
Just check it out. Maybe if you're still around later, you can come on and jabber.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I got about 24 minutes
of
product.
Don't actually have a proper show, I see.
I have about 44% of a show.
44%.
That's pretty good,
you sure,
man.
Not, it's not 43%.
The Pope's here. We're busy. I'm glad he's here. I like this Pope.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Dusty Show.
I kind of like this Pope.
Oh, yeah, he's cool. He's a smart guy, actually. He's a scientist.
I'm no
it's
scientist.
It's time for the Dusty Show, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned right here on WFMU. I'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Go Big Blue! Go Big Blue!
You're a Giants fan.
Yes, I am.
You're off to a rough start this year.
Again, yeah.
You didn't see it coming?
I did, yeah. They didn't have very good picks in the draft, you know. There were a lot of good linemen out there, and they didn't get them.
What's with Pierre Paul? What's up with that hand? What has he done to it?
Well, he screwed his finger off.
Fireworks or
yeah.
What?
Yeah. I forgot now what it was. A gun, wasn't it?
NFL superstar Jason Pierre-Paul has reportedly suffered serious damage to his hand in a 4th of July fireworks accident. The New York Giants defensive end, a two-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champ, was participating in a massive fireworks show in South Florida with friends when things went wrong.
You have faith in Eli still?
I'm starting to wonder. He's not very accurate lately. He's a quarterback that needs to stand still in the pocket with a good offensive line, and then he can throw the ball.
Yeah, I guess you'll always be grateful for that Super Bowl he brought you.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fun one, wasn't it, against the Patriots?
17-14 Giants. Tell you, Joe, you take a look at this route here by Plexico Burris. A great job. Ellis Hobbs in coverage. He starts to the inside just enough to sell the slant, and then he goes to the corner. They call that the slant.
Realistically, it's a competitive league, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. My feeling, I used to coach football for younger kids in high school, and, you know, they're having practices where they don't make contact. All of a sudden, they have preseason games, and they're all limping and hurting, and it's because you haven't had any contact. You know, that's a stupid rule. I know they're trying to stop concussions, but you can't get in shape for playing football by not tackling somebody and being a little rough, you know?
We're back at the Meadowlands Stadium, where play has come to an abrupt halt because of an injury suffered by Eric LeGrand on the Rutgers kickoff. LeGrand came flying down the field, made the tackle, and went down suddenly.
I remember a lot, pretty much everything, you know, laying there on the ground. It felt like I got the wind knocked out of me. I couldn't move, so I kind of freaked myself out. And I was just laying there. Coach Shannon was telling me to pray, which just freaked me out even more because, you know, you want to hear a little bit more. And he's just telling me, pray, pray, pray. And I was just like, Coach, I can't breathe. And I was kind of freaking myself out. And then got onto the stretcher, caught a gasp of air for a second, tried to give the crowd a thumbs up. Didn't happen. And then I got onto the ambulance. They put the oxygen mask on me. I thought that was going to, you know, make me be able to breathe again, catch that deep breath in. It did it, and I kind of freaked myself out so much that I made myself pass out.
What do you do for a living?
Well, I'm retired now.
A teacher.
And electrician.
What did you teach?
I taught shop and technology.
A shop class.
Don't have any more.
I was going to ask, do they still have shop class?
Very rarely, yeah. They're ruining our whole educational system.
You think so?
I do think so, yes, because, you know, we had many a student that weren't going to college, but we got them interested in a trade and doing this or doing that, and they went to BOCES, and BOCES meant something then.
What's BOCES?
BOCES is like an alternative high school program for the trades.
For the trades.
And so if a kid found he liked working with wood, then he would take BOCES in junior high and high school.
Plumbing,
computers, or whatever it would be. Whatever. Yeah, and why don't you try woodworking? Well, the kid gets there and finds he hates sawdust, and then he doesn't get anything out of it. When I was retiring, they were pushing this, everybody's got to go to college, Ben. And yeah, it's wonderful if you can go to college, but everybody's not going to college, and nobody wants to face that.
Or can't afford it.
And can't afford it. What we were doing and some of the other programs were teaching the kids how to get a job and work. I also, after I retired, I worked as an electrician out in the Hamptons doing million-dollar houses.
Did you ever get shot?
No. Working on houses out there, all the constructions, the only people you see young are Hispanics, legal and illegal, working. You don't see any white young plumbers, electricians, or anything else.
Is it because they're paid so low that...
They make decent money. It's just that none of the young white kids have any idea what to do with it.
And the Mexican workers have been trained in it before they came here?
The ones that are working in most of the jobs actually have work permits. And they put every effort into learning it and doing good work. And they do. And those that don't come back. And those that do, stay here.
Who are you going to vote for? Who do you want to be president?
Any Republican.
Any Republican.
Please.
You like Trump?
Well, I like the way he talks. I don't think he'll be the perfect president, however.
Are you jumping on the Fiorina train?
She's not bad, I'll tell you. She did a good job in the,
debate?
Debate that they had, yeah.
You know, it's interesting to me. Mr. Trump said that he heard Mr. Bush very clearly and what Mr. Bush said. I think women all over this country heard very clearly what Mr. Trump said.
She's got a beautiful face, and I think she's a beautiful woman. Beautiful woman. Beautiful woman. Beautiful woman.
Today, I believe that I'm being called to lead by helping to clear the field in this race so that a positive conservative message can rise to the top of the field. With this in mind, I will suspend my campaign immediately. I encourage other Republican presidential candidates to consider doing the same, so that the voters can focus on a limited number of candidates who can offer a positive, conservative alternative to the current front runner.
Did it surprise you that Walker dropped out? He was considered a top runner at one point.
At one point, yeah. I guess they get a little nervous and they're going to spend a lot of money for nothing, so they figure it's not going to make it for them. I guess it's time to get out.
What about Jeb?
You got, according to your to what you said on one of the talk shows, you got Hillary Clinton to go to your wedding.
That's
because
true.
You gave her
That's
money.
True.
Maybe it works for Hillary Clinton.
It doesn't work for anybody on this
stage.
I was a businessman. I got along with Clinton. I got along with everybody.
Yeah.
That was my job, to get along with people.
But the
I
simple
didn't
fact
wanna,
is...
Excuse me. One second.
No.
I didn't want to...
The simple fact is, Donald, you cannot take...
More energy tonight. I like that. Look.
I was asked the question.
I didn't want... It was my obligation as a businessman to my family, to my company, to my employees, to get along with all politicians. I got along with all of them, and I did a damn good job in doing it. Go ahead.
So, he supports Pelosi. He supports Schumer. He supports Clinton.
Got along with everybody.
And when he asked Florida to have casino gambling, we said no.
Wrong.
We said no, and that's the simple fact. The simple fact is...
Don't make things up, Jeb.
Don't cut me off,
sir. Come
on. Wrong.
Rubio is an up-and-comer.
Yeah, I don't even know much about him, you know.
What about Bernie Sanders?
No, I'm not a Democrat. I don't care who runs a Democrat. I'm not voting for a Democrat. Although he seems to be a lot better than the others.
Oh, they're drawing you away. Well, anyway, nice talking to you, man.
Okay.
All right.
The New York Jets
not good.
Off to a 2-0 start in the Todd Bowles era. And again, the defense. One thing to have the five takeaways against the Cleveland team that has struggled, but to do it against Andrew Luck and Indy in their building, certainly something to talk about and feel good.
Yo, Fireman Ned, yo, hit me up real quick.
Beat it!
No doubt, man. Yo, Rex. Any last words?
Let's make sure we play like the New York Jets.
Jets!
This is the original cast, West Side Story, on the Dusty Show. Hey, everybody. I'm glad you're with me. 6:10 here in Jersey City. I can feel the coolness in the air. Fall's coming. Hey, it's here.
From your first cigarette to your last dying day. When you're a jet, if the spit hits the fan, you got brothers around, you're a family man. You're never alone, you're never disconnected. You're home with your own. When company's expected, you're well protected. Then you are set with a capital J, which you'll never forget till they cart you away. When you're a jet, you stay. Now I know Tony like I know me, and I guarantee you can count him in.
In, out. Let's get cracking.
Where are you gonna find Bernardo?
At the dance tonight at the gym.
But the gym's neutral territory.
Ooh, I'm gonna make nice with him. I'm only gonna challenge him.
Great, Daddy-o.
So everybody dress up sweet and sharp. Meet Tony and me at 10. And walk tall.
We always walk tall.
We're Jets!
The greatest!
When you're a jet, you're the top cat in town. You're the gold medal kid with a heavyweight crown. When you're a jet, you're the swinginest thing. Little boy, you're a man. Little man, you're a king. The jets are in gear. Our cylinders are clicking. The sharks will steer clear. Cause every Puerto Rican's a lousy chicken. Here come the jets like a bat out of hell. Someone gets in our way. Someone don't feel so well. Here come the jets. Little world, step aside. Better go underground. Better run. Better hide. We're drawing the line. So keep your noses hidden. We're hanging a sign. Says visitors forbidden. And we ain't kidding. Here come the jets, yeah. And we're gonna be every last bargain gang on the whole bargain street. On the whole ever mother loving street.
I saw that Ramon shirt. I said, she's young. What does she do? Do you really like the Ramones, or you just like the shirt?
Oh, I like the Ramones. I think most people who wear shirts actually like the band. I feel like
I agree.
It's probably a bad trope that girls, when they wear a punk t-shirt, they don't actually like the punk band.
It almost seems like the Ramones are one of those bands that they're really kind of hard to dislike. They're a lot of fun. They had a great image.
Yeah, definitely.
Didn't get too dark. You know?
Yeah. I mean, dark for, like, some people.
When I'm against it, I'm against it. When I'm against it, I'm against it. I don't like part of this. I don't like communism. I don't like anything for. I don't like anyone. And I'm against it. I'm against it. Well, I'm against it. I'm against it. I don't like playing ball. I don't like the Vietnam. I don't like Burger King. I don't like anything. And I'm against it. I'm against it. Well, I'm against it.
Do you like the Pistols? Do you like the Clash?
I like the Clash. I love the Clash. Although I don't know all of their songs by name, I do know a lot of their music. I like disconnecting songs and like remaking them, so it's just, that's my thing with music. But like, yeah, Sex Pistols are great. Don't listen to them enough, but the Clash will be one.
School, what?
Oh, I'm taking a year off from school, and I'm working at a coffee shop down the street.
So you're out of high school, you're talking about college.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And you're working in a coffee shop. Is that kind of fun? You get to know people?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You really have to be a people person for you to enjoy
your personality
job.
Person?
Yeah.
Are you waiting tables? What are you doing?
Oh, no, I'm just a cashier. I'm starting barista training.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but that's a good experience. And I would think kind of a fun job, if nothing else. I like people.
Yeah, it is.
What's your long-range goal? What do you want to be doing in 10 years?
Oh, I want to be a nurse midwife.
You do?
Yeah, and a sex educator. I've been teaching sex ed for 2 years now.
Have you really?
Yeah, and I wrote for a magazine.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Like, I wrote for a magazine for sex ed, but they just 10 to 19 Sex Etc. magazine.
Now, personally, is it hard to get a teaching job? I have a friend who teaches, and she said it's not easy in New York City.
Oh, well, I'm more into nursing and midwifery, which is like obstetrician, like giving, like helping women give birth to children and things like that. So that's my end on things. When it comes to teaching, you can teach anyone. I could teach you right now if you want to. When you want a job for it, it's a completely different story.
If you had a couple minutes with President Obama, what would you say to
him? Change the entire public health system, be more inclusive of women, stop killing people in the Middle East, and stop excusing your cool image for drone attacks.
You are a socialist. What does that mean?
What it means is that we have a lot to learn from democratic socialist governments that have existed in countries like Denmark, Sweden, Finland, Norway, where all people have health care as a right, where higher education is free, where they have a strong child care program, where they don't have the massive type of income and wealth inequality that we have in the United States of America.
All right, so cradle to grave entitlement. You are a socialist.
You like Bernie?
I love Bernie. Bernie Sanders is like hope for me, and I'm asking all my friends to really read up on him and not just vote for him blindly, as some teenagers tend to do. And I mean, I'm 18, but I have like the soul of a 65-year-old, so it's like you have to like read and do your research on politics. You can't just go blindly, especially when it's leading the free world.
Well, you're a bright young person. I appreciate the time you've taken. I always ask our listeners, what's your message of peace and love to everybody in the audience today?
Be open to other people's like views in the world, even if it doesn't match yours. And you have to be like content that everyone lives their life the way they decide to, and that everyone's one with the earth in their own way, person that you have to be like, this is who this person is, and you have to make sure that like you value them as the human being they are and not your perception of them.
Are you optimistic about the future?
I'm more optimistic about the future than my present. So I just moved out of my house, I'm starting a life in New York by myself, so it's like if I'm optimistic about my future, then I could go for it. But like right now things are up in the air and I'm just hoping for the best.
I'm sure you'll do well. Good luck to you.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Here's my card. This is Grand Funk, the E Pluribus Funk album. I've been listening to it again. I forgot how good some of these songs are, like I'll Come Tumbling. Check it out, Dusty Show. E Pluribus Funk.
Corporations are people, my friend. We can raise taxes on... Of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people.
Slowly coming, the thought of losing the world is ever so near. Let's start showing and let's start growing with love. There's nothing to fear.
On day one in the Oval Office, I will make two phone calls. The first to my good friend Bibi Netanyahu to reassure him we will stand with the State of Israel. The second to the Supreme Leader to tell him that unless and until he opens every military and every nuclear facility to real anytime, anywhere inspections by our people, not his, we, the United States of America, will make it as difficult as possible to move money around the global financial system. We can do that. We don't need anyone's cooperation to do it. And every ally and every adversary we have in this world will know that the United States of America is back in the leadership business, which is how we must stand with our allies. As regards Planned Parenthood, anyone who has watched this videotape, I dare Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, to watch these tapes. Watch a fully formed fetus on the table, its heart beating, its legs kicking, while someone says we have to keep it alive to harvest its brain. This is about the character of our nation. And if we will not stand up and force President Obama to veto this bill, shame on us.
Mark, Don, and Mel, pre-Craig. Not in the Hall of Fame. Unbelievable.
And body funk from the Midwest. Grand Funk, a bruising, blasting, electric vibration is a railroad for its generation. And running like a clockwork orange, right on its time. What is the actual story behind the biggest American rock group of all time? What has made gold records out of all the band's albums? Over 1.5 million of E Pluribus Funk, their sixth to date, going in just a few short months. What is there to say about a trio that acts like an atomic magnet on the incredibly fringe, sometimes riotous, and always, always record-breaking crowds it attracts everywhere it gigs all over the world? Yet what explains the simultaneous non-attraction of the press? Who or what is responsible for this media relationship as distant between the parties as the long road Grand Funk has come in its two short yet triumphant years?
Sometimes I'm too exploring.
I won't ever leave. You want me to stay. Nothing you can do that can turn me away. Hanging on anyway. Believing the things you say. Being a fool. You're taking my life. So take my soul. That's what you said. And I believed it all. I wanna be with you as long as you want me to. But don't move away.
Three Dog Night on Dusty. Song written by Russ Ballard.
Taking my life, so take my soul. That's what you said, but who are we to know? I wanna be with you as long as you want me to, but don't move away. Ain't that what you said? Ain't that what you said? Ain't that what you said?
Will you help me, please? I am lonely. I need a friend. Are you busy right now? Are you too busy to listen to me for a little while? Please? I am so lonely. I don't have any friends. Will you be my friend? Please? I wish that you would. I know that I am hard to look at. I am ugly. People tell me that I am ugly. They tell me that I am stupid. Are you laughing? Please don't laugh at me. Please. It hurts my feelings. My name is Randy. I am 42 years old. I am not very smart. I never went to school. My daddy died when I was little. I never knew him. His name was Suds. He was only 21. Only 21. I had just been born. My mama died giving birth to me. Then, my daddy shot himself. So, I was alone. I was adopted by a minister and his wife. But, they brought me back to the agency. They decided that they didn't want me after all. I was ugly. I heard them say it to each other when they thought that I couldn't hear. He is ugly. He is fat. He is stupid. He is slow. Let's take him back and get another child. A better child. And that's what they did. They took me back. I got spanked by the woman at the adoption agency. She was mad at me. She had worked hard to find me a nice home. And now I had been brought back to the agency. I was a problem. You are so stupid, the lady said to me. Stupid. Stupid. Then she spanked me. Go to bed. Go to bed right now. She locked me in my little room. It was so dark. I cried. Stop crying. She opened the door and screamed at me. Stop crying. But I couldn't stop. She came into my room and she spanked me again. Stop crying. The next day I ran away from the adoption agency. No one even noticed that I was gone for several days. I hid in alleys. And I ate food from garbage cans. I slept in the back seat of an abandoned automobile. I was scared. I was bitten by mice as I slept, and I was bitten by bugs. Big brown bugs with pinchers. They bit me. I had sores on me from where the brown bugs bit me. I itched the bites, and it made it worse. I itched so bad that I scratched myself raw. Pus was coming out of my sore red bites. It was coming out. Pus. I wiped it on my dirty, filthy jeans. Adults saw me from time to time. I didn't have to run or hide anymore, because no one wanted me. No one even wondered what I was doing. They didn't care. Sometimes other kids would beat me up. The big kids beat me up. The smaller kids kicked me. I didn't try to stop them. I deserved it. I kicked myself sometimes. On the shins. It hurt. But the pain reminded me that I was alive. When winter came, it was very cold. I was freezing. I was sick. I was alone. A woman named Donna discovered that I was sleeping in her car. She spanked me. She yelled at me. Then she made me a bowl of bean and bacon soup. I threw up because my stomach was shrunken. It was too small. She told me to leave her house. Get out. You vomited on my nice carpet. Get out. It made me very sad. I thought Donna liked me. I should have known better. Eventually, I made a friend. He was a short, fat, ugly kid named Jumbo Burdock. Jumbo was a year older than me. He was slow. I paid him 15 cents to like me. He said that he liked me, but I didn't believe him. Sometimes he would hit me. For no reason. He would punch my stomach, and I would fall down onto the dirt. I liked Jumbo anyway, because he was my only friend. Then one day he got hit by an ice cream truck, and he died. It was sad. I drug him over to the curb and looked at him for a while, but he was not breathing. Jumbo was dead. I ran into some tall weeds, and I stayed there until I got so hungry that I had to look for food. Seasons passed: spring, summer, fall, winter. I was getting older. Now I was 12. I was only 3 feet 4 inches tall. I weighed 362 pounds. There was something very wrong with me. A disease. I smelled like rotten lemons. People told me I smelled like rotten lemons. Kids kicked me and beat me up all the time, while the adults just stood there laughing. I was constantly sad. I walked out into the country, and I walked into a cornfield. Groovy was a rabbit. A little brown rabbit with no tail. His tail got shot off by a teenager with a 12-gauge shotgun. The other rabbits did not like Groovy. They kicked him with their strong legs and sprayed him with pheromones. They drove him out of his hutch. They squealed their horrible rabbit squeals. They drove him away from their colony and forced him into the corn. He was afraid of coyotes and dogs. His lungs were damaged from pesticide inhalation. And his fur was patchy and mottled and unattractive. He was unable to mate. He had but half a testicle. He was sad. He stomped the ground with his back legs. He bit me hard. He bit me with his gross grass-eating teeth. It hurt. It bruised me. It startled me. I ran from him. But he ran after me and he bit me again and again, on my ankles and on my calf muscles. It hurt. Stop biting me, Groovy. Stop. But he didn't. He must have bitten me 200 times before I picked up a big rock, and Groovy is gone. He is gone where the other dead rabbits go. To the big rabbit hutch in the sky. I didn't even bury him. I just let him lay there and stink in the hot sun. And I walked out of the cornfield and up by the highway. Highway 71. A two-lane highway with very little traffic. Maybe 3 cars an hour would pass by. Usually the driver would try to hit me or he would flip me the bird. One man stopped. He said his name was Donald Boone. He asked me where I was going. I told him I wanted to get to Des Moines. He said that was too far, and he sped off. His tires threw up little rocks that hit me in the face. And on my chest, it made me sad. I lay down in the ditch, and I fell asleep. I had a dream that I was normal. People like me. I was popular. I had toys and a bicycle and nice friends. My mom and dad were still alive in my dream, and they hugged me and kissed me. I was so happy. So happy. Then I woke up in the ditch, and it was raining very hard. I was soaking wet, and it was cold. A car drove by, and the driver threw a small bag of trash at me. I began to cry. I wished that I was dead and in heaven, so that I could see my mama and my daddy. It was the saddest I had ever been. I began to run. I could only run a short distance because I became winded and I had to stop. I was too fat from all the awful things I ate from garbage cans. I ate them all. One time, I was bitten by a bat. In the daytime, I was afraid that the bat was sick with rabies. It scared me. I wanted to find a doctor. I could feel the rabies going through me. I could feel it in my body. It was making me crazy. I was rabid. I could swear that there was foam at the corners of my mouth. I imagined that I was stricken with aquaphobia. I remembered the old Bonanza episode where little Joe gets bitten by a wolf. I am dying. I walked down Main Street, screaming, "I am dying. Help me. Damn you all. Help me. I have rabies." Cars would stop, and I would yell, "I have rabies. I have rabies." And they would speed away from me. Their tires would squeal. I could hear the drivers saying, "Jesus Christ, that kid has rabies. He has the rabies. Bad." A cop stopped me. I told him I was rabid. At first, he didn't believe me. Then he approached me, and I barked and foamed at the mouth, and he got in his police car, and he drove away. He threw a sucker at me. I think he felt sorry for me. It turned out that I did not have the rabies. I was just anxious and dehydrated. Sometimes I would forget that I was so short and ugly and fat. I was really big. It was getting harder to hide. I was 14 and dumb. I never went to school. I am only able to write this story with the help of the attendant in the ward where I am being kept. I am melting my brown crayon with a magnifying glass. I farted, and it burns. Would you be my friend? Please? Please be my friend. By the time I was 21, I was 4 feet 2 inches tall, and I weighed 612 pounds. I found work with a small circus, and I traveled all over the country. I was billed as the human ball. I was just like a human ball. I made extra money by cleaning the monkey cages. It was awful work. The monkey cages stunk of pee and monkey stinky. One day, I could take it no more. I took a big lighter and I set the main tent on fire. Luckily, no one was inside of it. The fire was stopped, and I was caught, and I was sent to this institution. I have been here for many years. This is where I will die. They will take me out back and throw me in a hole.
Jungle Odyssey, actual jungle sounds taped and then put into a song, mimicked with trombones. Thank you, Brightside. Hey everybody, Clay Pigeon with you on the Dusty Show. Some comments, lots of comments pouring in about My Name is Randy, that story. It's weird. I jotted that down so late at night. And then I threw it on today, and all along I'm thinking, maybe take it off. But I didn't. Ah, well. This is nice. There's probably some Mata Hoople fans out there. We all know the main, the albums, the big albums, Wildlife and Mad Shadows, Brain Capers, into the big populist era. You know I like late period, so this is after Ian Hunter was gone. I think they brought in Nigel Benjamin to sing, Morgan Fisher on key, still Overend and Buffin as the rhythm section. Was it Ray Major on guitar? This is, I remember seeing these guys open for Black Oak, Arkansas in Des Moines. This is Mott. Hopefully this will work. And from the Drive On album, it's called By Tonight. Hardy coming up at 7, the TNP follows. I'm glad you're out there. I love that guitar sound. That was a fun era in music. They were trying to hold on, but it was fading away, that thing. That glam. Making way for corporate rock and disco. New wave, punk. But you knew all those things. 4 minutes before Hardy. Dave the Spaz is in the house already getting his show ready. I'm glad you're out there. Gonna play some Trapeze. Remember them? Glenn Hughes, Dave Holland in this band, produced by John Lodge, the Threshold label. This is Trapeze on the Dusty Show.
Bye. please dress appropriately. Open your Bibles. Good. Good. Open your Bible, please.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org.
Man, this Mulkmany thing has me thinking.
Has everyone thinking?
In one sense, he's right.
What?
I said, in one sense, he's right.
No, I heard you. You're an idiot.
Lou?
I'm sorry, but I have to call you out on this one. You know what? I'm not sorry. You can't say garbage like that.
What, that Mulkmany may be right in some way?
I can't believe you're saying this. You are a moron.
Dang, that's harsh.
Look, in this life, some things are clear cut. You either come down on one side or another. And I'm telling you, you are choosing sides, man.
Because I said Mulkmany is right.
You're a clown, an animal.
Who are we condemning?
Hardy, unfortunately. He said Mulkmany is right.
You're an idiot.
Please explain to me why I'm wrong.
If I have to do that, it's too late. You're lost. Your brain has atrophied. You've lost all reason and heart.
What a clown jack you are.
What's wrong with you guys? We're friends. Why are you letting this destroy our friendship?
I'm not friends with pro-Mulkmany monsters.
Monsters.
Good word. Not human, for sure. You aren't the person I thought you were. So we're not friends. I don't trust you anymore.
Hopefully you and all the pro-Mulkmany types will get a disease and die.
Oh, for Pete's sake, that's awful. You guys are cruel.
We're cruel. We're cruel. We're the cruel ones.
Oh, my God.
Are you hearing yourself?
Why won't you tell me why I'm wrong? Correct me.
You know the arguments.
He's being aggressive. He's a psychopath.
I think that's it. That's got to be it. These Mulkmany people have no souls.
Did someone say Mulkmany? My blood is up. A group of us are thinking it's about time we stop talking about things and start doing something, taking charge and stopping these Mulkmany types before it's too late.
Hardy is pro-Mulkmany.
No, I'm not, though. I mean, I agree.
Let me at him.
Mr. Bourgeoisie.
Devil.
Mr. B, don't. They want that.
I don't want that. Who wants that?
I will stop you, types.
I'm not a type. A blood type. I'm A positive, by the way.
Hey, I'm A positive.
A posi posse.
I forgot what we were talking about. I remember that I hate you now, though.
Oh, we were talking about something Mulkmany said.
And who is this Mulkmany?
Oh, he's just a character I made up to demonstrate how quickly people can turn on one another over a perceived moral difference.
Ah, so there's no Mulkmany.
Oh, there are many Mulkmanys, I imagine. And this is one of those you imagined?
Yeah, I'm sorry I wanted you dead.
That's cool.
It's hard not to want a bad person dead.
Ah, but you have to figure out what a bad person is.
Sometimes it's obvious. Like a murderer, or a cynical pop musician with more attention than they deserve.
I hate and fear everyone, and then make exceptions as warranted as I meet people.
I hate work meetings and my life.
I hate Oscar the Grouch. He's negative and emotionally abusive.
I think you were using the word a little too freely, like some people do love.
I love that!
I love what you did there.
If you love it so much, fight tirelessly for decades for the right to why don't you marry it then?
Forgive me for hating you so quickly. I lost the courage to love you.
Oh, Lou, that's beautiful. I was harsh for wanting to slay you barehanded.
Grr. I don't know what to do with this energy now.
That's okay. Forgiven. Do we all forgive one another? I would also like to be able to take criticism better, but it's often delivered in such a condescending and mean way, or not at all, just insults. I understand. You know what you should do?
No, what should I do?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. B.
See?
So, if we can successfully be forgiven by each other, by other people, then we can move to forgiving ourselves.
Question.
Go right ahead.
I'd love to forgive myself, but my inner landscape involves God or gods. How do I go about getting the forgiveness of whatever deity or deities I have in my experience?
Well, your tradition probably has some rules, but I think if you are generally cool with other people, then your deity is on board. But again, you might want to check the local laws.
Question.
Go ahead.
What's this?
That is a wooden hat from the Consolium period.
Was that after the War for Right?
Yes, you know your imaginary history.
I was making up pseudo-historical tour monologues from the time I was like 9.
I used to pretend I'd created a whole planet and civilization and then settled down to a job at a history museum as a docent since I was the best informed.
My mom grew tomatoes.
Oh, that's nice. Fresh tomatoes. Everyone has a tomato story. One time, my mom planted tomatoes, but instead, one of those two attached condo single-family homes sprouted. Not a duplex, but they share a wall. You know.
Was that in Florida?
Georgia.
Okay.
Question.
Go ahead.
Do you feel we are now avoiding conflict instead of dealing with it? Should we be having a respectful debate about a moral issue?
Oh, well, you know, it's up to you guys. Either way is fine with me. Sometimes I feel like talking about important stuff, and other times, I like just maybe talking about food.
How is food not important?
Oh, bad example. You're right. Something unimportant.
Philosophy.
Philosophy, exactly.
Lotion or thumbtacks.
Well, I think I could find a way they might be important.
I heard that before you die, you have to write at least one song, and it can suck and be terrible and really short, but you have to do it.
Or?
I don't want to find out.
Here's one. You are wrong. I ain't writing a song.
And you're done. I envy you.
Well, wait now. I have no musical skills.
You could witness a crime, get interviewed, and then auto-tuned. That might count.
I was trying to kill Hardy, but I didn't succeed, though.
Now I'm the only one without a song. No. I don't have a song of my own. I feel sad. I got no song. This is wrong. I think I'm gonna lose my mind. Hey, I got mine done. Oh, now I got no goals.
Oh, there's never a shortage of things to do. In fact, my motto from a very young age was never run out of things to do or else your mom will find things for you to do. So, are we back to loving one another and getting along and smiling even though we disagree and we believe and think weird things and some of us are demonstrably mentally different?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. Well, let's do our chant.
Yes. Team still love you. Go love drinks and card games. Planet health always. Boom.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, on an imaginary spaceship where we don't go anywhere because we get bogged down with picking the fabric on our seats in this imaginary spaceship. And I think we should go with some kind of faux leather or naga hide. And you're saying, well, no, I want something more like cloth. Or the rope of the kings. I say, rope of the kings? Do you mean corduroy? And you go, yes, corduroy. Of course I mean corduroy. What kingly ropes doth thy wear as pants?
Fools!
Okay, that was great. Sounded great. Let's get another take.
All right.
It was great. Let's just have a backup.
Okay, no problem.
So here we go. Take two.
Fools!
Okay, yeah, a I little know. More sinister, maybe.
Okay.
Can you get a little more sinister sounding? Take three.
Fools!
No, I know. I knew immediately.
Yeah, it's not
I
quite.
Didn't get enough air at the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do take four.
Fools!
Not quite.
That felt okay.
No, not quite there. Let's, Let's do it again. A little more energy, a little more sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just telling you, it's not easy on the voice, and the more I do it, the harder it is to maintain.
Yeah, but we're going to get it. So here we go. Take six.
Oh, I was choking.